Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by Pastor Adrian Mills, as well as Dr. Brian Charette. How are you guys doing today?
Hello, Grayson.
Doing good, doing good.
It's good to be here.
And it's good to have you guys. And the reason I have Pastor Adrian and Brian on Front Porch Talks today is to talk about the upcoming men's retreat, which isn't very far away. So, whichever one of you would like to start out, maybe mentioning this year's theme for men's retreat.
Yeah, well, I'll let Brian speak a lot here because he is. We're very blessed that Brian is coming back to lead our men. And how many years now have we done this retreat, Grayson?
I think this is the 24th annual Keepers of the Light men's retreat.
Wow, I have not been there for all 24, but I'm
so
blessed.
Is that consecutive? So. Has it ever been skipped, or do we go back 24 years?
Because that's how long Dad's been here, and so I think it's been every year.
So 1994.
I believe that would be.
The first year he was here, he had a men's retreat, and he's had one ever since.
Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I believe that's correct.
Wow.
It's 24. I know that's correct, whatever year that would be.
Adrian wasn't. Well, you were born.
I was born, yes.
You were in. Yeah. You were in diapers.
I was in school. I was not in diapers.
So scratch the diaper comment.
I say all that to say that 24 years now, men have been going down to the island, and certainly for some, this retreat is an escape. It's a getaway. We don't call it vacation, but for men, just an opportunity to breathe and exhale. Certainly it's that. But it also is a spiritual time for that too. And so as I pray every year about what the Lord would have us kind of spend that time on, I'm always thinking with that. I'm picturing men that just need relief, that need a break, that need rest, and even more than that, peace. And so really this year, the topic is a topic that I think is relevant to all of us. You know, Grayson, we live in a world today that really the church today can have a lot of disagreements about the idea of sin. In fact, some denominations, I believe, really have just decided that it's too hard to live a life that God would call us to, that Jesus would call us to. And so really what we do is we find ways to give ourselves permission to continue in a life of sin. We don't give God our best. And so really, as I was talking to Brian about my heartbeat for this, it centers around the idea of holiness, but we came back to this word beyond. And really that's that we feel like God has called us for something more than often what we settle for. Even the church sometimes are guilty of settling for something that is not anywhere near what God would have for us. And so that idea beyond really speaks to a lot of things. Brian will share a lot more about that. But just this idea that there is a lot more that God has for us as men than sometimes what we allow him to do in our own lives.
I'll be happy to share a little bit about what I think the Lord is saying, but I think it's interesting, especially when you think about the men's retreat, 24 years of the men's retreat, and it's hard for me to talk up the men's retreat because I'm often the guest speaker, so it's very self-serving for me to say, so pretend I'm not the guest speaker. Listener, Front Porch Talks listener, let's enter a world of suspended disbelief. I always say that I have not been to the men's retreat for 24 years, but I've been coming a long time. And I have never failed. The Lord has never failed to speak to me in a really strong, powerful way that I needed. There's something about it. I was going to say, we were talking before we started recording. Grayson has a friend who's going to come from Columbus, Ohio to Ocracoke, North Carolina. That's a long way to come to a men's retreat, but that's common. And, when I tell my friends, I talk about the men's retreat and they say, well, how many men go? I mean, they have to take vacation time. They have to travel a long way. And I'll say, we have 95, 97 was 100 men. Mm-hmm. It really is. But if they ask me why I think it has sustained itself the way it has, Ocracoke is beautiful, but there are other beautiful places, and the speaking is okay, but you can hear much better speaking all the time. The worship is wonderful, but you can worship at home. So I wonder, Pastor Adrian, since you have pastor in front of your name, what's your theory on why the men's retreat has what is attractive about it that maybe we don't see?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I could just speak from my own perspective that there is something in me before men's retreat that just longs to get away with the Lord. That there's just value in a change of scenery and giving yourself permission to unplug, to be still before the Lord. We live in such a chaotic, hectic world. Yeah. Where we fill our lives with so much that it almost takes something so drastic. And some men, I believe, might go to men's retreat and not know why they're there. And then when they get there, they realize, wow.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah.
How busy has my life been? How noisy has my life been that I have to come here? And so for me, I always come back feeling like I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. And does that mean that I have to get away to do that? No, I hope not. But I certainly think any time that I will set aside time and say, Lord, I'm committing this time to you, he always, you know, takes that consecrated time and makes it beautiful and fruitful. So that's just what I can speak from my own perspective. And I think many men can resonate and relate to that.
What do you think, Grayson? You've been since you were a little, because you're young.
Well,
are you 20?
You're 21? 30, I'll be 31, yikes. Actually,
a few days
after the men's retreat.
You've been coming to men's retreat since literally you were a boy.
Eighth grade, I think, was the first year I went. Eighth grade and then all through high school, and then I missed the 4 years I was in college, and I think this will be the ninth year in a row since graduating
college. What's your answer to the question? Why do you think it has the draw that it has?
Well, I agree with everything that Pastor Adrian said, and also not only growing closer to Christ and having that time to get away and focus on Him, but also building lasting relationships with other Christian believers and having people that you've built that relationship over the years. And so you look forward to that time and going, not just spending time with Christ, but also growing in those relationships and continuing those relationships and focusing on those relationships. And so it's kind of a triangle type thing. You're growing closer to God, but you're also growing closer to other Christian believers.
I think that's right.
That helps strengthen you because we need each other. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
And it really is. I mean, when you think about it, and that's what my, you know, when I talk to my friends not in the church, you know, the question I get is, so you have 100 men who take 3 vacation days, essentially, because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Most men have to take vacation days. And most men really guard their vacation time. And so that's, I hear that. I hear you have men who take vacation time to go to a church thing, which is what it's referred to, out there in the vast, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know for me, I'm one of those guys. I work a secular job and I have to take vacation time, but I wouldn't not do it, you know, for the good, you know. And I had one person say, well, what about the time away from your family? Well, for me, the time I invest on men's retreat has reaped benefits for me as a husband and father. It is 3 days every year that, you know, the value is exponential in terms of who I am as, you know, the most important roles in my life. So, you know,
Every year there are women who run to register their men.
Yeah.
I think their men want to come. But what breaks my heart, and I know we're talking strictly maybe from a perspective of those who are married. We have a lot of younger men and guys that come on the trip also. But I look out on Sunday and I look in the eyes of maybe some of the women who's maybe they couldn't come because of, but there may be some men that just feel like for whatever reason they're resisting it. And I look into their eyes and I just see this almost this feeling of like, man, I wish I could get my husband to come. And so that's not a guilt or a shame at all, but just an encouragement. There is something in us as men that resists community. There is something in us.
Too much vulnerability.
And so whether it's legitimate, you know, reasons that we can't come, it is a big sacrifice, but there are some that just, there's something in us that screams, don't do it. So to that man, I would just encourage you to say, hey, take a risk. You can get your own room, stay by yourself, you don't have to listen to anybody snore. But man, being together, it's worth it. It's worth it, I think.
Yeah, and if you're listening and you're not part of our church, you know, our pastors don't, you know, they promote the men's retreat, they talk about it, But nobody's guilted into going. It really is, you know, it's just like that. It's here's an opportunity. We think the Lord's going to move. We'd love for you to be there. But there really isn't arm twisting. And it doesn't have to be because right. men tend to respond to the. Well, let me answer the question you asked before. It was about half an hour ago. Adrian asked a question and I was interested in other things. Beyond is the theme. And the way it works is Pastor Adrian and Pastor Kerry, they get together and they pray about what the theme for men's retreat should be. And then they charge me with developing, you know, going to be with God, being alone, doing my homework, and coming back with a way that might be expressed. We usually have three teaching sessions, three worship sessions. The worship, by the way, is fantastic, if I can interject in my own conversation. I love the worship at men's retreat. You know, if you've never been before, we're in a little small Methodist church on the island of Ocracoke, and it's just to have 100 or so men worshiping with everything they are in the middle of this island. And, you know, it's interesting. There was one year I purposely took a walk around the church and down this road that runs in front of the church, and you could hear the singing clearly as long as I could walk. And I just remember, I get goosebumps now thinking about it, the powerful, the impact of that and what must be happening in places that we don't see when that happens. So for me, I love to worship. But we have three teaching sessions generally when we go on men's retreat. And so the theme, as Pastor Adrian said, is beyond. And it is about, you know, that word means how can we as men, and particularly men, I think I very unashamedly had said many times, it makes a difference that this is a men's retreat, that God has a call on men. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a call on women, and godly women are critical, but I believe there's a battle in our culture for the hearts of men. And so I don't apologize for the fact this retreat is about training men of God for however much time we have left before Jesus comes back or whatever's going to happen happens. And so I think about men, and in our first conversation, we were going back to that old Marine Corps advertising campaign. Remember the old, I don't know if they still run it, but you say the Marines are looking for a few good men.
Right, yeah.
And the whole point of that was, you know, the marketing was about, we won't take everybody, but we want the special ones. And it's particularly personal to me since I was in the Marine Corps. But that sort of the theme is, what's God wanting from men of God in 2018? Yeah. And so the word of the Lord to Pastor Adrian was that we're to go beyond, to step past. What I'm referring to it in the teaching is to break beyond, to sort of cast off the rust and the shackles and the numbness of the world we live in and the culture we live in our own selfishness, and walk out in obedience and faith to whatever it means to be a man of God in 2018. And so there are three beyonds. The first is beyond sin. Pastor Adrian referred to that. To get out of this idea that I have to live a life encumbered by darkness and sin. I'll never escape it, and I might as well get used to it. The second part is beyond shame. Shame is really big in a man's life, and it is one of the... It's like if sin is cancer, then shame is the tumor. And so on the second part of the retreat, we're going to talk about getting past shame and being delivered and free from shame. And then the third part, we're calling beyond safe. The implication is that to be a man of God in 2018 takes courage. It takes some guts. And it means that we have to care more about obedience and care more about the Lord than self-protection, than not being vulnerable. We're so afraid of being wounded or hurt or embarrassed or humiliated. We don't take risks. But there is no example of a godly man or woman in the Bible who wasn't godly because they didn't take risks. They were godly because they stepped out in faith. And there are 50 examples. And so the third part is called Beyond Safe, What Is It Like to Live a Life That Goes Beyond That Old, Dead, Evil, I'd say, idea of safety.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, when Brian and I were talking through this, and just as I began to hear his heart, I just kind of gave Brian big picture, and then he ran with it. And really, as he was praying, I really felt, as I read through the session outline, really just Holy Spirit confirmation that there, amen, these are three areas where I think all men need to be challenged. And so I want to just share briefly about that idea of beyond shame. I'm becoming convicted in my life of not just how many times I allow shame to hijack my life and my actions, and how many times that I project that onto what God thinks about me. I've become guilty in how often it shows up in the way I parent my children. In loving ways, but Lauren has had to help me see that. And I don't do it intentionally, but it's just become such a part of our culture.
Yep.
Such You're a right. part of our world. And I don't think that my parents intended to do that, but certainly, you know, when you're raised to act act right and do this, but somehow without communicating it or without realizing it, I'm communicating shame. And so I've just become convicted in my own life how practically that can just come out. And so certainly if I'm communicating that to people that I love, I project that onto God. I project that.
That's true.
I feel like, oh yeah, God loves me, but I need to be ashamed of, you know, whatever the thing is. And so I know there are other men that, whether we can articulate it or not, that idea of shame, it comes in and it hijacks every, you know, meaningful relationship we have, the dreams and passions and goals that God's given us. It's this idea of shame. I don't know if that's something that you can relate to specifically, Brian, in your life.
Absolutely.
Where you see it coming out. Not just that you believe that, but you see it even coming out in ways that you don't even realize it.
Oh, yeah. Shame to me is powerful. It is a driving entity. I think the enemy loves it. And, you know, if you want to know what you should fight in your life, think about what the enemy loves. And I think the enemy loves sin. I think the enemy loves busyness, and I think the enemy loves shame. And I think shame is something that will be in there and will affect everything that you do. It permeates because it is so powerful. And we have to get to the point where we can live in true repentance and freedom. I think a lot of men especially are in shame. Shame is this idea that you wouldn't believe how sinful my life is. Still, I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and I still have this secret sin. And I can't tell you because you won't respect me or love me or care about me. So I have to push it down and hide it. So I have to sort of crawl into this dark place, and that becomes a cycle. Right. You know, the more I hide, the more I sin. The more I sin, the more I hide. And so we get this shame that weighs us down, and it can't not affect our lives because of it. And so for us, we have to get at what repentance is and understand that the blood of Jesus covers not only the one sin, the one grave sin committed once, but the 10,000 sins we characterize as little committed 10,000 times.
Right.
Either one is covered by the blood of Jesus, but it's the frequency, I think, that gets a lot of men. They say, you know, I've been doing this now since I was 12 years old. I haven't been able to stop this sin. Therefore, I can't talk to anybody about it. I won't talk to anybody about it. No good can come of me talking about it. So I'll just hide. And then I teach myself something about myself. When you do that, you teach your mind. You teach your mind that you're not worthy of the love of the Lord. You don't measure up, and other people do. You don't belong in a community of the gospel. And so you do a lot of posing and a lot of pretending. And I think, you know, one of the things, I think the message should be loud and clear in the gospel that you don't have to live that way. And for those of you who are not a part of our church, or for those of you who are and weren't here at church on Palm Sunday, Pastor Adrian, who's in the room, preached a powerful message this past Sunday on Peter. We're doing a series called The People of the Passion, and we're on part three, and it was Peter. And Pastor Adrian talked about shame in a way that was just revelatory. And I'm sure that I will be taking some of his ideas and incorporating over the men's retreat. But so if you can, if you weren't here at church Palm Sunday, please get that recording or go online and watch the video, because that was a powerful way to address shame.
Well, here's a couple things that you said, Brian, for me. Really, if I were to define shame in one word, it would be the word hiding. Because for me, that's what it always looks like. And really, if we trace back to when sin originated in the garden, immediately when sin is introduced to the world, shame is introduced.
That's right.
They're aware that they're naked and they are ashamed, depending on what version you read. And right. So it's instantly, because of what I did, now I need to hide. And so because of that, yeah, we've created a culture where, if we're just talking about men specifically, certainly it relates to men and women, but men specifically, yeah, a lot of posing, a lot of trying to be something that I'm not. To me, the opposite of shame is being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Being transparent.
Absolutely.
And so we've created a culture where men are not vulnerable, because we believe that if you saw who I really was,
right,
that you wouldn't love me, you wouldn't receive me. And so what's even more dangerous is we have men that aren't just growing up living that way themselves, but they're entering into a marriage where they believe, even in that marriage, that if that person, if my wife really knew the things I've struggled with, if she really knew who I was, that, oh, yes, she says she loves me, but, I mean, I've talked to men all the time that this is what they believe, even as a father, even as, you know, in all these avenues of life, they believe that they have to hide. They can't really show who they are. And it's toxic, but it's so prevalent in our culture, in our world.
Now, when you know, if you're listening to this and planning to come to the men's retreat, your response is going to be up to you. When you come, you're going to hear a clear presentation of the truth. You're going to hear about sin. You're going to hear about shame. You're going to hear the gospel. And you're going to have opportunities to respond. No one will make anything happen. No one will force you to do anything. But you're going to be given opportunities. One of the, you know, one of the beauties of the men's retreat is we have plenty of time. We don't have, you know, we take our time during our services. And, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to respond to the Lord in one of many ways. And I hope that you will be praying about what that response will be. Because this is an opportunity. You know, the fact that we're alive right now in this moment is a great gift, because it means that no matter what has gone before in your life, no matter what, let's say you got saved when you were 15, committed your life to the Lord and meant it, and now you're 62, and there has been a sin that has been clawing at you and you have not been able to get free of it since you were 15 years old, and you've been to church and you've prayed the prayer. Well, you have a great gift, because, you know, now is the day of salvation. You can say to the Lord right now, Lord, I give up. I surrender to you. I don't know how to do this, but you know how I feel. You know about my life. I open it up to you and I invite you to touch me. And he will.
Yeah.
And the first thought you just had, not you, Pastor Adrian or Grayson, but the man who I, the first thought you just had was, well, I've done that before. That's the first, that's what you just thought. Who do you think said that to you? Who does, just use your brain, use your intellect for a minute. As soon as I said that and you thought, well, I've done that before. I've done that 50 times before. Do you think that's the voice of the Lord? Or do you think that's someone else's voice? And what I would challenge you is either now or come to the men's retreat, but it's a great advantage for you that you're alive right now, because redemption, repentance, freedom can be yours. You don't have to wait for the men's retreat, but if you're coming to the men's retreat, you're going to get an opportunity to really connect, to really face the Lord, to talk to him, to say things to him, to say things to other men that you perhaps haven't said. And if you will, I don't know if you will, but if you will, there's freedom there. And there's once and for all freedom there. And the reason I say it is because I've experienced myself, and I've spoken with many men over the years who've experienced the very same thing.
Yeah, I kind of want to look just briefly at the last part, too. You talk about beyond safety, and I love that you articulate it that way, because I overused the example from C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia,
right.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I've way overused it, but I love the imagery of the story where they're talking about Aslan, the king, who we know, of course, represents Jesus. We see that. But in the story, the children that are going to meet the king and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are trying to explain to them this king, this lion. And they're, you know, inquisitive, as we all would be. But the one little girl asks, is he safe? And I love the response.
Yeah.
It's safe. Who said anything about safe? You know, he's the great lion. Of course he's not safe, but he's good.
Amen.
And that story has challenged me. And I know I'm still considered a millennial, and we're reckless, and we don't, you know, I know that we get all that, okay? But I think it's because deep inside of me, you know, they used to have, you talked about the old campaign for the Marines. They used to have the Mountain Dew commercials where they would, like, jump out of airplanes and mountain bike off the side of a cliff, and it was Dew the Dew. And, you know, that's not really what I'm talking about when I say beyond safety.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that's the kind of life we're being called to, nor is that reflect my lifestyle at all. But there is just this, you talk about, when we talk about shame, this idea of hiding, there's also this desire, and certainly it's so prevalent in American Christianity, that we desire comfort. We desire safety. And ultimately, if there's given a choice between obeying the gospel that's hard and obeying our own version of the gospel that keeps us safe, we're going to choose safety. And so I repent of that often before the Lord, but it challenges me.
Yeah.
Because we can't read the gospel and have any permission to desire to live a quote-unquote safe life. Now, I don't think the Lord wants to endanger you just for the sake of you experiencing harm. I don't believe that at all. But if we have a bigger picture of what the gospel really looks like around the world today, we have to understand that when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow, he's talking about take up an instrument that could lead to your torture and destruction and shame. I mean, wow, like what a visual. And so I need to be reminded often that, this is beyond safety. This is take a risk.
Yes.
This is get out of the boat. This is, you know, whatever the analogy you want to use.
Yep.
And so I just appreciate that. And I love that that's the visual that will kind of commission the men out from the retreat, because I think it needs to be said and it needs to be heard. I think there's something in the nature of us as men. You know, we love adventure, you know, the stereotypical macho, you know, I'm not that at all. But I do believe in many of us, God has gifted us with this desire and passion to make a difference, you know, to stand up. We talked a couple of years ago at Men's Retreat, be a man. Remember, we kind of redefined what that meant. And our culture has kind of hijacked that and made it something different. But when I think of being obedient to the gospel and not just desiring safety and not just desiring comfort, I think of that idea of, be a man, be God's man. And I just appreciate so much that perspective.
You know, it's not just adventure. There are some men who would rather snowboard off a cliff than look their wife in the eyes and tell her, I love you.
Yeah.
I mean, so when we talk about vulnerability and going beyond safe, we're not just talking about recklessly living.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about bravery in relationships. We're talking about courage in obedience. We're talking about modeling in worship, for instance.
Yeah.
The problem with our culture is our culture wants to wear all the edges smooth. And the gospel is dangerous, as you said. It was funny you mentioned that, because over the weekend I was working on that clip because I might use it at the men's retreat. And I thought of those just to hear the two beavers making the comment. Yeah. But our culture wants to make things easy and smooth and soft and comfortable and weak and impotent and ineffective. And that's just not what Jesus came for. And we will probably have to push back against our culture until the day we die and never expect it to teach us good things about what it means to be a man of God, but expect it to try to wear us down, to smooth off our edges, to make us safe, sit us in the corner with our ties on. I have nothing against ties. I wear one most days. But you know what I mean. Yeah. And that's just not what Jesus came for. It's not he was called. It certainly wasn't his life.
Right.
Look at his life.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's what we're focusing on in mentoring. And if you, you know, I always think of the skeptics. And if you say, if you've been to the men's retreat and you say, well, we talked about this stuff before at men's retreat, haven't we? My response to you is, as men leading other men, leading wives and children and friends, we better be talking about it until they put us in the grave.
Yeah.
Because if we ever stop talking about it, that means we've lost.
Yeah. That's so when you get scared. Yeah.
We have no, we make no apologies for the fact that we will declare the truth of God. We will call men to a higher standard. We will not be afraid to use the word holiness. We will not water down the scripture. We will not soften, round off the truth because we know that there's life in it.
Yeah.
And really what we really want is in the truth, is in the gospel. The great lie is that the best life is a safe and comfortable life, but that is a great lie.
Yeah.
When Jesus said, I've come that you'll have life and have it more abundantly, he was not talking about comfort and he was not talking about safety. He was really talking about a risky adventure of obedience and faith and worship. And then an eternity in paradise.
Yeah.
It's a really good deal.
Yeah, for those that are listening, there's really two things we would like to ask. First of all, if you're listening and it's not before the deadline, we would just kindly invite you. Yeah,
sure.
You may not be a man, okay? So you're listening and you have some in your life that could really benefit from being a part of this retreat. And so you can sign up on our website. abeaconofhope.org. If you go to the main page, there's a link down there at the bottom to the men's retreat, and you just register on there. We would love, absolutely love to have you be a part. You may be listening today, and your heart is moved by what we're saying. Maybe you're one of the guys, and you can't be there with us. Maybe you can't be a part of this retreat, but we would just ask you to pray. You've heard the heartbeat, and if you would circle those dates, April 11th through the 14th on your calendar, how much that would mean to us to know that there are those that are going to be warring in prayer for us. And I believe, and get this, I don't like to be overly dramatic. Maybe some people that know me would beg to differ, but there are people that were at men's retreat last year that are no longer with us.
That's true.
Now that does a lot of things, but it wakes me up to realize that this is not just going through the motions. This is not just a thing that we do, that there are eternal lives and eternal souls that hang in the balance. And so for that,
amen,
we would beg for your prayers and just grateful for the opportunity to go. And so thank you in those two ways. A couple last minute details. I know, Grayson, we were going to touch on the deadline to register is April 4th. You can do that online. Certainly, if you need some help, contact the church. We would love to help you get signed up. And love to have you come April 11th through the 14th for our 24th annual men's retreat.
Well, thank you, Pastor Adrian, and thank you, Brian. I'm looking forward, as always, to the men's retreat and coming into this conversation today. I knew the Beyond theme, but I didn't know much about it. But hearing you guys talk about it has really got me even more excited about men's retreat this year. And you mentioned the deadline, Pastor Adrian, and if they have any questions, I'm sure they could email or call you here at the church, as you said.
Absolutely.
And I was doing the math in my head. We talked about at the beginning of the program how many years. It is 24 years. 95 was actually the first year. Dad came in June of 94, so it was the first April after he was here that the Minger Street's been happening since April of 1995. So, oh,
neat.
Yeah.
Cool, a lot of years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Food's good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy yeah. it. Yep.
So I'm going to just close us out in prayer, and thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you, Grayson.
All right, thanks.
Lord, we come before you today, and we just thank you for this opportunity that me and Pastor Adrian and Brian have had to talk a little bit about the upcoming Men's Retreat in Ocracoke Island. And we look forward to it, Lord, and we pray that more guys will sign up, Lord, and that we will have a big group going, Lord. And we pray that we will focus. I mean, I know we'll have fun, Lord, but we'll focus on you and growing stronger in our relationships with you and with other Christian believers, Lord, and that we won't come back from the men's retreat the same person that we went on men's retreat, Lord, but that we'll be closer to you and stronger Christians, Lord. And I pray for Brian as he will be speaking on the men's retreat, Lord. Just bless him, Lord, and pray for all the others, Dad and Pastor Adrian and Pastor Joe and the others that will be doing some music stuff, all those that have a part in putting the men's retreat together. I pray a blessing over them and also over each and every man that will be going on the men's retreat, Lord. Yes, Lord. I pray for safety on the way down there and safety on the way back and a good time and good fellowship while we're there, Lord. Amen. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again, Pastor Adrian and Brian, for joining me. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for inviting us in.
And thanks for listening to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. May God bless.